Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Ask Me Anything episode. We read through the book, Goodnight Racism. We talk about, is being on time a white supremacist value? And so much more. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support Turning Point USA by going to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Charlie, I saw a viral video of a black woman saying that being on time is a white supremacist idea. Can you help me understand this? It's so confusing. Love the show. Well, thank you, and thank you for subscribing. Okay, so this is something that I first was made aware of back during Floydapalooza, the summer of 2020, when we decided to burn our entire civilization based on a total lie. And at the time, it was this pamphlet by the Smithsonian Black History Museum that came out with this document. It was the first I was ever made aware of it, talking about all these different patterns of behavior that we would consider to be admirable or virtuous as being characteristics of white supremacy or of white culture. Now, this comes from academia, and yeah, that's the pamphlet right there. This idea comes from academia, and it is based on this argument that is now being repeated on shows like The View and all throughout colleges across the country. If you send your kid to college, they're going to be exposed to this, and hopefully they won't actually end up believing it, that the white West, the white supremacist West, as they kind of describe it, captured and kidnapped blacks and made them believe in all these terrible ideas, such as the Smithsonian Museum would say, having a strong family structure, that's white supremacy. Working hard, that's white supremacy. If you think I'm kidding, this is the Smithsonian Museum for Black History. This is funded by your taxpayer dollars. Believing in justice is white supremacy. Whiteness, let me be actually clear. It's whiteness and white culture in the United States. It's not, they don't say white supremacy, but that's heavily implied. I mean, come on. The nuclear family, taking holidays off, planning for the future is whiteness. Delayed gratification is whiteness. Tomorrow will be better is whiteness, believing in that. Following rigid time schedules is whiteness. Time viewed as a commodity is whiteness. And this document just continues. No deviation from the single God concept. Monotheism is whiteness. I'd love you to say that. Tell that to the Ethiopian Jews. Such a stupid thing to believe. Objective, rational, linear thinking is whiteness. They teach this at university. Cause and effect relationships are whiteness. Children should have their own rooms is whiteness. The nuclear family is whiteness. Okay, you get the point. It just keeps on going. And I mean, this is not an exhaustive list. It just keeps going. And so their argument is that blacks have been lied to for hundreds of years, and their African culture was taken away from them, and now they've had to adjust and assimilate with white culture. And one of them that they love focusing on is this idea of time. Time's a fascinating concept in many different ways, from a biblical construct, from a philosophical approach. So first and foremost, you look at God who built a cathedral in time, obviously the Sabbath, Shabbat. This idea of time, though, and measuring time was first started by the Romans when they built a sundial. It was actually the first time they really started to measure time and when you'll show up at one time and the other. The first clock that was ever built, I believe, was in the 1300s, actually by monks to try to differentiate what time during the day it was. But let me play a piece of tape here that was mentioned in the original question, and then we'll go from there. Let's play I believe it is cut 68. Yeah, it's cut 68. This is a young black woman who is a queer activist as well, who is responding to a TikTok where somebody said, hey, can you guys please show up on time? I hate when you're late. And she calls this person a white supremacist. Now, this might seem like a very silly line of thinking, but this is institutionally popular at universities and colleges and soon to be at other places. Play cut 68.
Can we stop like normalizing people being late? Like, it's not cute. It's not funny. It's not a...
When y'all are ready to learn about the connections between this and the white American cultural norm with obsessing over being on time, please let me know. Please. Because as someone who is black, queer, has ADHD, and studies African American history and culture, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. It's going to be so much fun. But, you know, until then, we could just keep acting like that's a completely harmless opinion that has no historical context whatsoever.
So this black bigot girl who goes to college and thinks she knows everything says to the other TikTok that the video began with, I totally agree with this young man where he says, can we stop normalizing being late? I totally agree with that. And the bigot responds to him and says, you know, being late is okay because we have to push back against this idea of being on time. Otherwise, you're white supremacist. And so let's build this out a little bit. I'll tell you a short story. Last evening, I was running an important errand for our baby. Had to go get a very specific type of ointment. Anyways, running all over the place. And I was scheduled to have a dinner at a very specific time. And I was running 5 minutes late. And it really bothered me. I hate being late. It's one of my the things I put the most amount of pressure on myself on. It drives me nuts. And I saw that clip earlier in the week. And so as I was driving 5 minutes late and I texted them, hey, I'm going to be late. They said, no problem, of course. But I still was so bothered by the fact that I was being late. And so I put down my phone and I thought to myself, why am I so bothered that I'm going to be late? It's because I'm living in some sort of white supremacist construct. And it hit me. I'm really bothered that I'm going to be late because I have a lot of respect for the person I'm about to have dinner with. I have a lot of respect for their time. I have a lot of respect for what they do. I have a lot of respect for their character. And I don't believe that my time is more valuable than their time. That I felt bad for good reason, regardless of my excuse, doing something for your baby, important, that I was taking 5 minutes away from them. And that I don't have a right to do that. And at the fundamental root of that is a belief in human equality. And so in cultures that don't take time seriously, where it doesn't matter a lot of whether or not you show up on time or you don't show up on time, I believe it's actually a lack of respect that everybody's time matters the same. You see, that's a fundamental moral claim that if you believe that we are all the same type of thing, that we're all human beings with equal rights, therefore, you do not believe that you can, no, you do not believe it is moral or respectful to be able to be 10 minutes late because you actually are not more important than the person you're about to meet with. Traditional monarchies would show power by making people wait a long time in audiences, days even sometimes, hours, because they believed the monarch or the king believed, I am better than you. I'm more important than you. So who cares if I'm 20 minutes late or I'm an hour late? I'm above you. I'm a monarch and you aren't. This obsession with being on time is actually a phenomenal moral development that has resulted in people being treated more equally and fairly. That the driving purpose of wanting to be on time and not disregarding it is that that person matters so much that I'm not going to steal away their day because we're both human beings. To disregard time, to say, oh yeah, you could just kind of show up whenever you want, you actually have to be rather narcissistically prideful to believe that. At the core of being on time is an undeniable belief in human equality. At the core of not believing in being on time is an undeniable belief in hierarchy. And if that is a Western value, boy, am I thankful the West was able to develop that as a value. Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you gotta own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning, with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals. Give them a call or go to their website, AndrewandTodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to AndrewandTodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. Just go through this list one more time of what they consider to be white culture. Planning for the future, delayed gratification, emphasis on the scientific method. It's incredible. This is what they consider to be whiteness and white supremacy. And so then it does beg the question of, if you do not believe in those values, then what values do you believe in? Then what values do you think are admirable? If you do not believe in human equality and being on time and using science and reason and in separation of powers and consent to the governed, then what value system do you think is better than that? I mean, I'm open to ideas. I think the West got it best. Well, The View has some thoughts on this. Yeah, Rachel Lindsay, let's go to cut 117. She's on The View saying that the story of American history, because this is all around Ron DeSantis's recent decision, which I fully support, by the way. I am enthusiastically behind Ron DeSantis saying that Black-centered education has no place in Florida schools, obviously. It's bigoted from its premise. But that's kind of what started this conversation, and we'll go from there, because I did get a question on DeSantis's decision there, and I think it actually is a really important segue. So let's pick up 117.
Tallahassee shouldn't tell the family in Miami-Dade what they're teaching their kids. It's a political stunt. I don't agree with it. I'd love to hear Rachel's
thoughts. It's not a political stunt. I can't just call it that. It's racism. That's when Black people were brought from Africa over here, forced to be here. They erased our culture from us. They took our religion away. They took our names away. They took our heritage, everything that related us to Africa. They took it away and replaced it with Western culture. That's what you're doing right now in education.
All right. Well, first of all, Western culture is better, and that's a thought crime to say it out loud. Number two, Blacks were sold into slavery by other Blacks. Can't say that out loud. Thomas Sowell wrote that in great detail. Number three, when Blacks were given opportunities to return home, they did not want to return home. Whether it be the Lincoln Project, not the Lincoln Project of today, it was called Laconia, to actually return Blacks to its own country of settlement in either the Caribbean or Central America, they didn't want it. The mass relocation effort done by President Monroe, the fifth American president, to Liberia, which has the same flag, the same constitution. What is the capital of Liberia? Monrovia. Blacks didn't want to leave. And to respond to Rachel Lindsay, if that is the case, and if it was nothing more, I mean, obviously slavery is reprehensible and terrible and awful, but there's a lot more to that story than people would ever want to acknowledge and admit, which is more Blacks have come to America voluntarily than ever came in the slave trade. It's probably a great country. More Blacks have come to America voluntarily since the 1980s, whether it be from West Africa, from the Caribbean, than ever came in the slave trade. And what does she say there? She says they destroyed our religion, our language, our culture. Be curious to hear her thoughts on why she thinks that worldview is good. She thinks that African tribalism is morally better than Western human equality. Now, is that her argument? Does she believe that African tribalism and the mysticism that would basically be the predominant metaphysical view of tribes in sub-Saharan Africa at the time was more morally advanced or better than what we consider to be Western society that has the rule of law, due process, human equality, freedom of speech, private property rights? I mean, it's not even close. And so, yes, I will say, all human beings are created equal in God's eyes. All human beings. Of course, racism is repugnant and reprehensible. But all cultures are not created equal. They're not. And 1600s African tribal culture is not on the same moral footing as to where the West ended up, where you have blacks on the Supreme Court, where you have blacks that are able to become millionaires and billionaires, where you have a black that can become president, attorney general. That's a big deal. Why did that happen? Why is it that America is so prosperous? It's because we stole everything? No, because we embraced a set of ideas that at the time, and still are, were eternal. We embraced eternal wisdom in believing that there is a God and you are not him, in rejecting polytheism, which was the predominant view of African tribal culture. Now, is that not to say of course, we can learn some things through African tribal culture, obviously, but it pales in comparison to the moral contribution of the West that we take for granted, such as the strong protecting the weak. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. Mike Lindell is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that work. I know it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special and use promo code Kirk. That's MyPillow.com. Use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. There was multiple attempts to try and resettle slaves that were brought to America. Multiple attempts. And they were all largely unsuccessful because many of the slaves, especially freed slaves, and they met with Lincoln on this topic and this matter, said, America is our home. We want to stay in America. We love this place. We don't love what's happened to us, but we see opportunity, and we see a chance to flourish here. Abraham Lincoln had very specific plans. It was called Lincolnia, was a proposed Central American colony that was originally proposed by Samuel Pomeroy of Kansas in 1862, after Abraham Lincoln asked the senator and the United States Secretary of Interior, Caleb Smith, to work on a plan to resettle freed African Americans from the United States. Now, this gets really, I think, brutally mistold by so many of the kind of race people in the academy. They say, oh, Lincoln wanted the blacks to leave America. No, he didn't. He assumed that many of them wanted their own country. And so actually one of the leading negotiators that pushed back against this idea was one of the great Americans ever to live, Frederick Douglass. And Frederick Douglass said that he was very opposed to emigration. And the delegation then responded to Frederick Douglass's leadership. Frederick Douglass was one of the leading spokespeople of whether or not there was going to be an own country. And so basically, this country was going to be in Central America, right between what would be modern-day Honduras. Now, mind you, there was a resettlement program. And this is what what other country went to such great efforts to try to bring slaves to back to where they came from as what we tried to do under President Monroe in Liberia? And it worked okay. And by the way, there was a whole organization called that was dedicated to this called the American Colonization Society. It was founded in 1816 by Robert Finley to encourage and support the migration of blacks back to the continent of Africa. And over 60,000 blacks ended up doing that, but it actually decreased in popularity. It decreased in popularity over time because blacks wanted to stay in America. And that's not to say every single Black believe that, but it was an open offer for multiple decades. So this line of thinking from Rachel Lindsay is rather not just inaccurate, it's really dangerous and it's destructive. Charlie, I love the show. Have you seen the recent book, Goodnight Racism? This is in my local library. I can't believe it that parents actually buy this. So when I first read this question, I had not, but I had my team buy the book. Here it is. It's by Ibram X. Kendi, otherwise known as, is it Henry or Harry Rogers? I always get that wrong. Henry Rogers, who renamed himself as Ibram X. Kendi because he wanted to get back down to his African tribal roots. And it's illustrated by Chababi Bayok. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. What a weird name to name a baby, racism. Like, why would you name your baby racism? No, that's not what the book is about. It's not saying goodnight to the black baby named racism. They're trying to say goodnight to racism, the sin. And this is a children's book, a baby book that apparently parents purchase. And it goes through, outside the window, peeking down from the night sky, the moon watches over us. She sees kids smiling at dinner tables. It's very pagan that the moon has some sort of mystical quality, and yawning in their beds. But some kids do not have food. They do not have beds because unfair rules and unjust treatment. No, they don't have food or beds because their fathers left them. The moon sees all the kids, whoever they are. Again, this is hearkening back to African tribal folklore, a focus on the moon and the hermetic kind of connection to what I would consider to be pagan, as if the moon has some sort of personality. Wherever they are, and sunshine, her light on. Let me just pause here as I'm reading this children's book in real time. This is why the Bible is so important. The Bible is at odds with just some of the claims here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The moon does not have a personality. The moon doesn't see you, okay? The moon's just a thing. It's obvious it's not a planet. It's an extension of our planet. But obviously, you could say, oh, they're being metaphorical here, but not really, because anyone from a Christian, Judeo-Christian view would say, yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to say the moon looks at you. It doesn't say God looks over you. It says the moon does. It's strange. The moon wants her light to kiss every child goodnight. The moon delights when every child falls asleep. No, it doesn't. The moon is a bunch of rocks. It doesn't do that. Because the moon knows when we sleep, when we dream. Again, so that's really interesting. So Ibram X. Kendi, writing this child's book, Goodnight Racism, is making an argument that the omniscient, omnipresent qualities of what we consider to be a Christian God is actually present in moon worship. Nothing new about worshiping the moon, by the way. The Vikings did it. The Greeks and the Romans didn't necessarily do it, but a lot of their gods were derivatives of planetary patterns. When we dream, we imagine what is possible, what the world can be, and the moon glows a bright, little brighter, whispering, dream, my child, imagine, my child, a new world, a new future awaits. It's really creepy. Continues by saying, a world where all people are safe, no matter how they look. Wow. And of course, there's a gay couple here. Looks like really interesting. And how they worship, or how they love, showing some sort of what seems to be a polyamorous family here. A world where all kids have the same chance to have peace, joy, and have a childhood. Really. A world where people breathe fresh air and have what they need to feed their minds and bodies. And this is it. A world where rules open doors, open minds, and create equity and justice for all. Picture of all these kids protesting activistically. This is in these children's books. It's almost done. Good night, unfair rules. Good night, cruelty. Good night, injustice. Good night, equality. Good night, hate. Good night, hurt. Good night, racism. Good night. That's supposed to be deep. And do you notice about this what is lacking? Well, lots lacking. It doesn't talk at all about improvement. Applying yourself differently, making better choices. No. It's all about the injustice, about the systemic inequity and inequality. It's somebody else's fault. And the moon sees everything. Good night, racism. It's a bestseller, apparently. Jeez, these people are a bunch of con artists to make something. It has like 40 words in the book. He probably made $1 million off of it. Okay, we got a caller on the line about intergenerational wealth. Okay, let's just patch him through. Hello, you're on the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hi. So I'm having a Lincoln Douglas debate tomorrow, and I was wondering your opinion on the intergenerational accumulation of wealth and how it's antithetical to democracy or not. What's your opinion?
Great. Well, thank you for calling. And first of all, the Lincoln Douglas debate is a beautiful dialogue. If you guys have not read it, it's amazing. It's very similar to the Socratic dialogues of the pursuit of what is justice. And thank you for calling. So you guys can cut the audio there. So let me just answer this. So it depends on how you view intergenerational wealth. Typically, when we talk about intergenerational wealth and the conversation on it, it is focused on what they consider to be systemic injustice and systemic racism. That's all a bunch of nonsense, okay? Blacks were getting wealthier than whites in the 1950s, regardless of even redlining and all this other stuff. In the 1940s, 1950s, when America was far more racist, blacks were getting wealthier than whites per capita. Thomas Sowell has a whole book on this. It's really well, thoroughly researched and well done. The question should not be about what happened to someone that was related to you multiple generations ago or multiple decades ago. The question is, what are you doing now? And it should be a focus on agency and action and free will, which are we telling young people, in particular young blacks, to get married before you have kids, get a job, any job, don't commit crimes, and save money? Do we say that? If not, meaning basically stay out of prison. If we do not, and graduate from high school, which is just a basic thing. If we do not communicate those things, we're doing a mass disservice by saying there's all this injustice, there's all this horror. No, actually, you're just making bad choices. Then the root cause of so much of this is not about redlining. It's not about banks. It's not about any of that stuff, some of which are legitimate. Some of it's not. It's not about the FBI pumping cocaine into the inner cities. It's about black fathers that abandoned black moms. It's the most simple baseline. It's not about black privilege or white privilege, black lack of privilege or white privilege. It's, do you have a stable nuclear family? Do you have two parents in the home? Blacks that are raised by a mom and a dad are more likely to succeed economically and socially than a white that is raised by just a single mom. So to complete the point on DeSantis, because we got a question on that, and then I do want to get to some callers. DeSantis has banned advanced placement black studies course from Florida high schools because it lacks educational value, is what he says. And the world is blowing up over this. And boy, am I behind Ron DeSantis for this. They called the course unlawful and historically inaccurate, but did not elaborate on why the department thought so. Why is this an AP class? By the way, the entire existence of this course is just ridiculous. The bad guys are trying to push this forward because they're afraid. No, that's not true. They know that we are afraid. Let me be precise. Of saying no because we don't want to be called racist. So they're pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing. It was written by CRT advocate and legal scholar Kimberly Crenshaw. That should tell you everything you need to know. Now, they're attacking Ron DeSantis relentlessly on this. I guarantee you there will be examples and example and example after this to show why Ron DeSantis ended up making this decision. And again, the world is erupting over it. I fully support Ron DeSantis in this. You should teach American history. How about this? Is that a black studies? How about you teach ethics? What a concept. Just teach a course on ethics. Just say, what is Aristotelian ethics? What is Platonic ethics? What is biblical ethics? What are Western ethics? What are secular ethics? Just have a conversation about ethics. Instead of AP course on African-American studies, give me a break. How about civics, economics, anything but more tribalism. The NAACP, of course, ridiculous, says that students need to be taught that racism is embedded. This is what the class would teach. Embedded in laws, policies, institutions that would uphold and reproduce racial inequalities. What law is there that is actually the only way you can answer this question is that we subsidize single motherhood. But it's about choices. And the choices that, unfortunately, Black America has made over the last 30 or 40 years is the abandonment of their children. It's a fact. And increasingly happening in the white community, too. So it's not just the Black community, unfortunately. Single motherhood is on the way up across the board. Okay, I want to get to a call here. Bob from Buffalo Grove, Illinois. I know where that is. Bob, really quick, what's
you
on your
went
mind?
To Wheeling.
Yes, I did. I went to Wheeling High School. They don't claim me anymore. How you doing?
Good. You were talking about Black History Month, and you were also talking about other celebration months.
Yes.
The engineers only get 1 week, and that's in February. And what I find interesting is during Black History Month, they celebrate all the politicians, all the entertainers, and they ignore the contributions that African-American blacks have made to the engineering profession, science profession. It's just amazing. I went to the African-American History Museum in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
There's no exhibits for the engineers, the black engineers that have changed our world.
Like George Washington Carver. Yeah, we're out of time, but I appreciate the call and thank you. You know, we're running out of time. Thank you.
Take care.
And that's interesting. It actually ties in and harmonizes with the argument I made previously that the Smithsonian Museum, funded by your taxpayer dollars, does not think positively of the scientific method or scientific progress. So that would definitely correlate. Gary from Oklahoma, line 5, says he has a thought about Donald Trump. Really quick, Gary, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just don't know why anybody would be willing to vote for Donald Trump while he's still pushing the shot. If he don't come out against his shot, then why would we vote for him? He didn't stand up for the January 6th people. He should have stood up for them. When we first heard about private government partnerships, it was from him.
So just really quick, Gary, I just want to make sure I understand. You think that Trump's embracing of the vaccine is a political liability for him?
Yes.
Okay. No, I agree with you. So, all right, Gary, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Love Oklahoma.
Thank you.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. I agree. I think that Donald Trump pushing the vaccine is a massive political liability for him. I said this to him privately. I'll say it to him publicly. If someone runs against him, DeSantis or somebody else, and says, look, man, you keep on advertising the mRNA gene-altering vaccine that has caused unspeakable horror and damage to thousands, if not tens of thousands, not 100,000, maybe millions of people. If someone were to run against Trump, and again, I'm saying this as someone who's voting for Trump and for supporting him in 2024, one of Trump's greatest weaknesses in 2024 is the lockdowns, the vaccine, and Fauci. I think he's got to get away from it very, very soon. I sympathize with that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.